America Weekend.
Good day and welcome to CNBC's Money Wheel. I'm Ted David.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. When we started putting together this show, I decided I wanted to have a segment called America's Business with Ted David. And who would have thought I'd actually get Ted David to do it? He was a founding anchor on CNBC, a longtime voice on the ABC Radio Network News. It is a pleasure to say hello to our own Ted David. Ted, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Ed. It's nice to be here.
It's very nice. It has been a while. We're trying to put this together. Your schedule, my schedule, finally just synergy, and here you are. Now, you and I are both radio geeks, and I don't think that's a bad thing to say. We love the history of it. We're both into it, you know, all the stuff with WABC in New York and all this other stuff. You started out as a disc jockey. I remember seeing a picture of you at the controls of WABC, and let me, 67, 68, do I have the years right there?
Well, it was 1967, okay. And I was 18 years old, and in a headline, and I hope I don't offend any listeners who are union folks, because I ultimately ended up joining the union, but I was a page. You know, I used to seat the people in the TV shows for the ABC programs, and everybody walked out on strike one night. It was a Sunday night, and everybody just walked out the door.
Wow.
And so I called Rick Sklar, who was the program director of WABC, and I said, "Do you need anybody to go on the air?" And he said, "Do you have any experience?" Well, I kind of lied and said I did. I said I had some college radio experience, which I hadn't yet. But I had been practicing reading copy at home into a tape recorder for the last 3 years, so I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, get a cab, get a security guard to relieve you, get a cab, and get on over here. So I went from West 66th Street in Manhattan over to 1330 on 6th Avenue, the main building, went up to the 8th floor, and walked into the studio where Dan Ingram, Cousin Brucey, Herb Oscar Anderson, Ron Lundy, Chuck Leonard, and all of these icons of not only New York, but just radio in general,
sure,
worked. And he put me in the seat, and he said, read this copy. And it was an instant audition. He just gave me a bunch of wire copy. I read it. He said, "You're going on the air with an indeterminate length newscast during halftime of the Jets game."
The first thing that jumps out at me is you said you're 18. Rick Sklar, for those who don't know, was programming the number one radio station in America at that time. The man was an icon in the business. And you're 18 years old. All right, everybody's going out on strike. Let me pick up the phone and call Rick and see if he needs any help. That's a pretty heady thing for an 18-year-old kid to do.
You call it heady, I call it chutzpah. But
yeah,
as you know, chutzpah is required in this business.
It sure
and,
is.
The funniest part is I have air checks of this, and my mother in those days, I mean, she just literally held a microphone up to the radio speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear her saying to my father, "George, listen to him. Isn't he wonderful?"
That's really
so what
good.
Happened is
yeah.
I did the newscast,
right?
And I have to say, immodestly, I did it flawlessly, with the exception of one mispronunciation. I called them Hager slacks instead. I called them Hager slacks instead of Hager.
That's not the thing to mispronounce. The sponsor there, Ted. That's,
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know. But and then he said to me, "By the way, have you ever done any disc jockey work?"
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Well, yeah," which again was a lie. So he said, "Okay." He said, "I need you to do the Chuck Leonard show." This was Sunday night.
Right.
And now Rick Sklar's on the board running the controls. And the next thing I hear is Chuck Leonard. He's a swinger, 77 WABC. And the light lights up. And he points to me, and, you know, because I had been such an avid listener, I heard the horns honking, and I recognized it as Soul Survivor and Express Way to Your Heart, number one on
yeah.
the survey. And so there we went with the disc jockey show. To make a long story short, I ended up on the schedule for the next 16 weeks. The disc jockeys came back in about 4 days. The staff announcers stayed out, and the engineers stayed out. So for 4 months, I was running the board, the controls, if you will, for Ron Lundy, Dan Ingram, Herb Oscar Anderson, Cousin Brucey. I got an education that
wow.
no one could possibly have ever dreamed of, and I was doing the news with them, and I have all these air checks, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It's amazing because, it goes back to being in the right place at the right time, knowing the opportunity and seizing it. Because, and right, that you had 18-year-old kids in Wichita that one day wish they would even be able to breathe outside 1330 Avenue of the Americas in New York City near WABC, but there you are, and you got that chance, and it's an interesting situation the way it took place with the strike, but you got to take it when it comes, and you got to make the most of it. All right, so then you move on, your career develops. I remember you're on WPIX FM in New York. If I remember right, the old Mix station, Mix 105, weren't you on that for a while as well?
Yeah, that was when it was WNSR.
That's
Soft
right.
Rock 105
Soft rock.
FM.
Right, okay.
Soft Rock, Less Talk.
Ooh.
And I was the news director, the morning news anchor and sidekick with a fellow named Bill Neal.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 2.5 years. And then I had worked at ABC Radio News, I should point out, for 8 years as a network anchor.
Right.
And then that went away. And, you know, in this business thing, you just get fired. Doesn't mean you did anything wrong. They just don't renew your contract.
Exactly. But that allowed you to kind of make that transition from DJ and music and entertainment to news and information, which led to a huge break for you, and that is CNBC. Now, that is an entity that really changed the investment landscape. Now, CNBC went on, 89 is when it started. Is that correct, somewhere around there?
April 17th, 1989,
okay.
At 6 a.m.
And when did they meld in the people from FNN? Because that's where Ron and Sana came from, if I'm correct, right?
That was 19, actually, that they just marked the anniversary, May 20th, I believe, 1991.
Now, how did CNBC change the investment landscape?
Well, look, heretofore, Wall Street was a lot of hocus-pocus, and there were certain people who were in on it and others who were not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got the Wall Street Journal and if you had a broker, you know, then, okay, you were, in, quote, in the market. What CNBC did was it mainstreamed investing, and it opened up the nuances of stocks and bonds and mutual funds and commodities and options to a whole group of people who heretofore had never really paid any attention to it. And I think to a large extent it allowed people who were total, it was good and it was bad, it allowed people who were total novices to get their feet wet and in some cases drown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the bubble, and other people to really become educated and educated consumers, as Cy Sims used to say,
right.
You know, educated consumers who then had a better handle on investing their own money.
To that point, business news was looked as like, you know, very high level, very stodgy, grabbing the Wall Street Journal in the morning, but it made it relatable. So it did take it from Wall Street and it brought it to Main Street. And I remember in the beginning, there were other elements on CNBC as well. You had a weekend show. I remember you talking to Dan Ingram one night.
Yeah.
You had a variety of talk show hosts. Cavett was there for a while as well. It was a different channel at first, but it made something that seemed so standoffish to the average person that, oh, my accountant deals with that, it made it relatable. Now, here, for you to come out of a regular news environment, and before that, the DJ environment, how was it for you, and how difficult was it to make the change to be able to communicate business news?
Well, they hired me at CNBC to be a consumer reporter and a consumer medical type, because mm-hmm. that's what I was doing last at ABC.
Right.
What happened is, and this is where the radio comes in, a lot of the people that they had hired were not radio people. And so one day they said, we need you, this is during the rehearsal period before we went on the air, we need you to sit on the set and just read the teleprompter so we can block shots and adjust audio and so on and to tweak the lighting. And they heard me reading the business news with such authority, only because I had all this radio experience, that I knew how to read copy better than most TV people,
mm-hmm.
because I was a radio person. And so, and look, let's be honest, you know, you and I know that radio people, most radio people can do TV, a lot of TV people can't do radio.
That's exactly right.
And so I sounded, I don't mean to sound cocky or, you know, well, like a wise guy, but I sounded great compared to a lot of these TV people. Because
mm-hmm.
I had, in radio, you have only one thing to sell,
that's
how
right.
you sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, we're making you an anchor. Because And so they made me an anchor. I got 2 hours of the Money Wheel before we even went on the air. I was assigned to those, and by the fourth week, they doubled my salary and made me a full-time anchor.
Wow. Yeah, I'm starting to learn here. Things move fast in the world of Ted David when it comes to his professional career.
And I've been so lucky. I can't begin to tell you. I mean, yes, it takes some skill and it takes some ability, but there also there has to be somebody looking at you, watching down, and just blessing you.
That's
periodically,
right.
You know, and I had that, and I'm very fortunate, and I am always delighted that that happened. And look what happened in the end. I had ABC, yes. I had PIX, yes. I had CNBC, yes. But now, America Weekend.
See that? See, there is always that penultimate that we're all trying to achieve. Boy, you know what, folks? Doesn't he make me feel so good here as I sit here and talk to Ted David on the program? And I kind of figured that's where we were headed with this, and I was kind of hoping that's where we were headed with this. Now, being at CNBC for all those years and dealing with all those personalities, there has to be a story or two or 26 that you've just been holding back all these years, and now here you are talking to me on Little Old America Weekend, just you, me, and 50 nifty United States.
So when we come back, because we're coming up on a hard break, I want to hear some of those CNBC stories. Stay with us, folks. More with Ted David right around the corner. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Think green. Harrison with you. According to the LA Times, a City of Los Angeles investigations uncovered evidence that vans dispatched by the College Hospital chain have dumped as many as 150 mental patients on Skid Row in the last 2 years. One 32-year-old schizophrenic was dumped just after being diagnosed as dangerously delusional and paranoid. It's gotten so bad that California courts have issued a stop order to determine what's the proper place for commercial hospitals to dump mentally ill patients. Federal regulations require medical facilities to come up with a plan for follow-up care, but they don't order hospitals ever to make sure their discharge patients actually receive it. L.A., the second largest city in the U.S., seems to be spending as much time dumping patients as they are trying to heal them. Except in Hollywood, of course. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Depending on what entity sponsors a motorcycle-oriented event, we see high-strung banners reading either Welcome Riders or Welcome Bikers. When was the last time an actual person described you as a rider? Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. To the people living next door, you're a biker. For instance, if your humble servant had named this program American Rider Minute, no one would have any idea what the show was about. Forearmed with this valuable knowledge, why are we being bombarded with Bike Week banners which read Welcome Riders? Without permission to do so, major American corporations are attempting to polish our image by renaming us Riders. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on 2 wheels.